Blog Talk Radio.
And behind the veil of what is seen, the natural eye, a great event is being prepared. A war and a wedding feast will have their place in time. Soon and not yet is the word that the watchman gives as he strains his eyes through the darkness of the night mist. He can sense that just beyond the horizon, a great brightness is preparing to break forth. Arise, you sleepers! Shake off your slumber, he calls. Come and fill your lamp with fresh oil. Trim your wick. Cry out in the streets and do not let your voice be silent. For the coming of the great King is at hand. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Only wait for the Lord. Be strong and of a good courage, and wait for the Lord.
Our voices and call on the Lord, he will come.
Raise up watchmen out of every nation. Raise up those who will stand unafraid in the night hour, who will give no sleep to their eyes. No peace or rest give them to you, Lord, until you make Jerusalem a praise in all the earth. You have sworn it by your name. Hallelujah. And so blow a shofar in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain, says the Lord, for the day of the Lord is at hand.
Hallelujah. The cry of the people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We give you all the honor and all the glory. Hallelujah. Because history is telling us, the writings are telling us, the prophets have foretold from the old time. Your word says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, that God in different ways and at different times spoke to us by the prophets, but in this last time has spoken to us by his son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. from The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle, your host for this evening here on Blog Talk Radio. You could call us at 516-418-5944 with your comments, testimony, or questions. Hallelujah. Whatever, when you call, press number one, you'll be connected to the studio. Glory. And we'll stop the program and seek the answer to any questions or comment on the comments or the testimonies. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, the phone number is 516-418-5944 to be contacted with the studio. Press number one. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Today, as you know, is the start of a new study, a new series. And the title of this series is called What's Next? What's next in the calendar that the Lord has made? Glory be to the Lord. I'm going to read something to you profound from the scriptures, and then we're going to go into certain subjects. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. This is taken from Revelation 19, beginning at verse 12 down to 15. And it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which was in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is what awaits those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. God doesn't send anyone to hell. He just accommodates their desires. Glory be to the Lord. When you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you're rejecting God's forgiveness. And this is where you would end up, in the lake of fire, because you're going to, as you reject Jesus Christ, or if you take the mark of the beast, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This is what awaits those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that there are about 2,400 religions out there in the world, but there's only one empty tomb. Glory be to the Lord. And that empty tomb in Jerusalem belonged to none other than the true Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, from the tribe of David. Glory be to the God. Hallelujah. Born of a virgin in the town of Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He was found in a manger, clothed in swaddling clothes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. From the family of David. Hallelujah. From Judah. Glory be to the Lord. As the prophet said. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No one else has met those criteria for the prophets, for the true king of Israel, for the true prophet, for the true savior. Jesus Christ is the savior of the world. And you know what? In Isaiah 43, it says that we are witnesses of these things. When they occur, we are witnesses of these things. So let's call it like it is. Amen? Just as Satan and his minions rebelled against a benevolent God in the past, humanity will once again fall into the same iniquitous pit during the Millennium Kingdom. This seems incomprehensible, but in actuality, the story must be fully told. Without Revelation 20, the drama has no final chapter. What would happen, we might ask, if mankind finally experienced the opportunity they asked for? A society with just peace, prosperity. Let me begin that sentence again. What would happen, we might ask, if mankind finally experienced the opportunity they asked for? A society with justice, peace, prosperity, and the visible evidence of the existence of God. Would they remain rebellious, or would they embrace the light of God? In short, are people in essence naturally good? That question is forever answered when we see the grim realities of Revelation 20. People are not naturally good. You can look that up in Proverbs. They are inherently inclined toward evil. When given a chance, the majority, as in the case of the sand of the sea contingent, choose to do evil rather than good. This final act of rebellion against God has a concluding examination point. With the millennium will come the last great act in the drama of redemption. Humanity will have been tested under every dispensation, innocent, human government, law, grace, and finally, the Messianic kingdom, to name a few. Under the test of every conceivable condition, mankind has failed. Therefore, no one can say that under the right conditions, mankind's goodness, like cream in a bottle, will rise to the top. No, God was right. Mankind is totally and wholly deprived. And so the book on the story of the nature of man closes on this door note. They went on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints above and beloved city. A fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Revelation 29. But there is good news. Although this may be the closing chapter on the story of mankind, rebellion against Christ is not the final chapter in the Bible. In set call-off-like fashion, the scriptures chronologically the final demise of Satan in Revelation 20 and 10. The great white throne judgment, Revelations 11 to 15, and the entire entry of the new heaven and the new earth, Revelations 21, 22. Above all of these momentous events rings the great sounding bell of redemption. The case has been emphatically made for the necessity of the new birth. While some elements in the story of the total depravity of mankind may seem somewhat obscure, this can never be said of God's plan of redemption. Reading the entire account from Eden to the last revolt of Revelation creates only one conclusion. We desperately need a Savior, and thankfully, He has come. Glory to the Lord. Why do you need a Savior? Because the Bible says in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, sin has separated you and your God. Sin. So there is something inside within us, inherited from Adam and Eve, and also something that we've choose later on when we come to the knowledge between good and evil. And we choose to do evil, we choose to do sin, and thereby separating ourselves from God, who is holy. We have a holy God. We have a holy Bible. We have a Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And we have a holy Son who gave him life, who took on human stature to become a slave, a servant. And he came down and he was obedient to the Father as Son would be, even unto the death of the cross. For you and I, my brothers and sisters, we don't have to end up in the lake of fire like Revelation 19 tells us, but we could end up with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven forever and ever and ever, for eternally. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. So let's look at some of the future events and the question, what's next? I have a list on Blog Talk Radio. That list is going to change, and as I'm going to show more stuff, I'm going to add to it or take away some stuff. And I want you to stay on top of it, because I'm going to carry that list all the way through to the very end. But it won't be the same as we're looking at it. Right now, I'm only showing 19 events that might occur in those order. But in studying the scriptures carefully, I'm looking at maybe 35 events that would occur to us prior to us entering into the eternal life. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So the future events has been foretold by the prophets and by Christ himself. Some of them will be fulfilled. Some of them will be fulfilled later on. Glory. And a lot of them have been fulfilled already. And that's what we need to do, brothers and sisters. Like Isaiah said, line upon line, precept upon precepts, here a little, there a little. We examine the scriptures and see and compare scripture with scripture. Now, we know that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So we compare scripture with scripture, see what God is saying and what has been fulfilled. So in our study of future events, which we're going to take on and what's next, we're going to go, we're going to give a little names, highlight of the things that we're going to be talking about. And then later on, we're going to take each subtopic one event at a time. Glory be to the Lord. The next predicted event in God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. Now, the problem is, my brothers and sisters, that not too many churches, not too many pastors are preaching prophecy. And prophecy takes up about one-third of the Bible. And if we look at prophecies, what was told before, how they were fulfilled, and how they will be fulfilled, and what's next, we would understand that God is in control. There is a calendar of events. We must be ready because, you know, the Bible says the Jews look for the signs, the Greeks look for wisdom, and that's in Corinthians. But when we go back to Genesis, God says that he put the stars, the sun, and the moon, signs and signals for us to know certain things. So right now, glory be to God, there's many things that occur, and we look at them as signs and signals. I'll give you an example. Right now, we have the seventh feast of the Lord. We have Passover. We have unleavened bread. We have first fruits. And we have Pentecost. Those four were fulfilled in the lifetime of Jesus. He was our Passover lamb. He was put into the grave, into the ground when he died on the cross. Remember, he died about 3 o'clock, and they put him into the ground about 6 o'clock before the sunset, because there was a new high holy day coming, which was unleavened bread, and they needed to get him off the cross because the word of God says, cursed is he that hangs on the cross. So they needed to take him off the cross and bury him before the sun set. So we have unleavened bread, which is when the Jewish people eat bread without leaven. And they still celebrate that when they celebrate Passover. They eat bread without leaven. Leaven is a representation or type of sin. So we don't want that into us. We don't want to dwell in sin. That's why Jesus said for us to eat his body. And that was a symbolical thing because he had no sin. Glory, he was unleavened. Glory be to God. And then after the unleavened bread feast comes the first fruits feast, which is on that first Sunday. And that's when the high priest waves the barley loaf to the Lord. And this is unleavened. This is unleavened bread. And it's holy unto the Lord. And it's the first fruits unto God. The feast of the unleavened bread. The giving of the Omar. The counting of the Omar. And it's the same as the rise. Jesus Christ risen from the grave. And remember, he praised and worshiped God. Hallelujah. So, and then 40 days later, 50 days later, after Jesus was with the disciples for 40 days, and he showed him alive with many infallible proofs. He gave testimony. He did miracles for 40 days. And then he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from above, until they received the promise of the Father, which was, at that time, the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. A lot of people read that and they just gloss over it, but it's very significant why the writer Luke wrote when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Because if you look back to Leviticus regarding the Pentecost, they were supposed to count 7 times 7 Sabbaths. That means 49 days. And then the scripture says in Leviticus, and the day after tomorrow, which is the 50th day. Glory. And the 50th day we know is the Jubilee. And the 50th day is when the Jewish people on Pentecost celebrating receiving the law. But in the time of the New Testament, it was a receiving of the Holy Spirit. The word of God tells us in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost fully come, a mighty rushing wind came from heaven. Mighty rushing wind came from heaven and sat upon each of them like cloven tongues. And they began to speak in other tongues that the Spirit gave them utterance. Now that's a prophecy being fulfilled there from the prophet Joel. From the prophecy of Isaiah, that they will speak with stumbling lips. It's very important that we understand that we, hallelujah, were baptized into Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, to repentance, and we received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Glory be, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So the next predicted event in God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. So we see how the Holy Spirit has been working with the church ever since the day of Pentecost, second chapter of Acts. And God had promised to the apostles, to the prophets, that there's going to come a day in which the church is going to be taken up and we're going to be joined with Christ in the air, in the clouds, forever to be with him, because we are considered the bride of Christ, the chastened virgin of Christ. This is not the second coming. This is second coming is when he comes to the earth and he puts his feet on Mount of Olivet. The rapture of the church happens in the air, happens in the clouds. We're going to be taken up by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says that the dead in Christ will rise first. Those in Christ who had gone to be with the Lord prior to his coming will be risen first. Their bodies will be transformed, and their spirit and soul will be joined together with that body, and they will be with the Lord forever. And we who remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, like Paul says. We're going to receive a glorified body just like his. And how we know? Because we're going to recognize Christ. Hallelujah. And we're going to meet him in the clouds, and he's going to take us to his Father's house. That's one of his prayer when he prayed in chapter 17 of the Gospel of John. He prayed, he says, I only don't pray just for those that see, but for those that believe and they have not seen. And then he promised in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, that he was going to go to away to prepare a place. So, and then if he goes away, he will tell us, he says, he'll come back and receive us unto himself, that where he is, we may be also. He is in the throne of God right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So that's the rapture, and that's going to occur before the 7 year of tribulation, before that. And then as you read in the book of Revelation chapter 20 and onward, you're going to see it says that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, will come back on a white horse with his army of heaven. Who is that army of heaven? Those are us, my brothers and sisters. We're the saints. We're going to come back with Christ to Mount Olivet to rescue Israel. And he's going to go to the mountains and take out the remnant. Hallelujah. Because there's going to be a remnant of Israel who's going to believe in the Messiah. Right now, there's a lot of Jews for Jesus. They believe in the Messiah. But there is a lot of Jews who don't believe in Jesus Christ because they've been deceived. And they don't have the courage to look up scriptures for themselves and see that they've been deceived. If they would just evaluate scriptures and see what God says, what the prophet says about the Messiah, they would come to the conclusion that this Jesus Christ, born from a virgin in a manger with salad and clothes, announced by the angels, glory be to the Lord, to the shepherds who came to this earth, hallelujah, and he did miracles. And Nicodemus confessed, he says, we know that God is with you because no man could do these miracles except God is with them. Jesus gave sight to the blind. He gave hearing to the deaf. He raised the dead. He healed the paralytic. Hallelujah. Exactly as Isaiah 61 once says, he came and he gave liberty to the captives. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So Jesus Christ came teaching, healing, preaching, and delivering. And if you look at Isaiah 61, you're going to understand those are the things that Christ did that shows signs that he is the true Messiah. Hallelujah. Even when they wanted to stone Jesus Christ, he said to them, you know, you see the works that I do. I do the things that the Father tells me to do. For which one do you sow me? And they said, not because of these signs, but because you say you're the Son of God. You're the Son of Man, making yourself out to be God. And sure enough, you know, the signs and the words of Christ were a witness to who he really was. Hallelujah. And people didn't understand at that time that the prophecy was told that the Messiah will come. He would take upon our sins on him, and he would die for us, and he will resurrect, and he will overcome sin and death. That's the gospel that we preach from 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ came, died for our sins, was buried according to the scriptures, resurrected on the third day according to the scriptures. Glory be to the Lord. You could go back to Psalm 16, Psalm 22. It talks about the Messiah. It says, God would not let his soul to see corruption, nor his body see decay. That's his resurrection. Hallelujah. Many people, many Jews are deceived by their leaders because they are told that they're waiting for two messiahs, Ben Joseph and Ben David. Ben Joseph, the suffering messiah of Isaiah 53, and Ben David, the conquering messiah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, from the prophets. But they don't understand that they have not been taught, and they don't have the fortitude to check into it, that in Christ Jesus, both Ben Joseph and Ben David are there. He is the true Messiah. And if they look at Psalms 110 and they see that Jesus will be from the Melchizedek tribe priest, they would understand, because he is the prophet, priest, and king. And if you remember when he was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, John the Baptist announced him, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." He baptized him in the water. And then as he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit came down like a dove, his anointing. And the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, of whom I'm well pleased." So we see there the transition from the Levitical and Aaronic priesthood to the Melchizedek priesthood. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we see that nothing else has occurred, and what's coming next is the rapture of the church. The next predicted event in God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. Somebody out there might say, but there's no such thing as the rapture of the church. That word is not found in the scriptures. There's many words in the scriptures that are not found in the English translation, like the Bible, like the Trinity. But the rapture is not found either. But if you go back and you look at the Latin, Vulgate, it says the arrapismo, which is a rapture. And when you look at the Greek, caught up means harpazo, the catching away of the church. Hallelujah. Harpazo, caught away. And that's what's going to happen before the tribulation occurs on this earth. Because the tribulation, I mean, this is another word, says the wrath of God. You know, God promised that he would judge the earth with righteousness in the day of wrath. But he had promised us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9, we was not appointed to the wrath of God, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So because we obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be saved from the wrath to come. In Isaiah, you're going to see an example there where the man and the woman get married. And he tells her, come into the room, close the door behind you, until the indignation is passed. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And we know that indignation, as we study the scriptures, it's a seven-year tribulation. And then after 7 years, he opens the door. He presents his bride to the neighborhood. Hallelujah. Same thing. When Christ comes back, he's going to present his church, his wife, to the world. Hallelujah. Many people will be at awe with what they're going to see. So the next predicted event in God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. That word church is another word for the call-out ones, the iglesias, and those are all the people that love Christ, who has surrendered, who has repented and confessed his sin, who have turned around and given their life unto God. And because of that, God has caused us to be part of the family of heaven. He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And he has given us a name. Hallelujah. Nobody else will know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So the next event in God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church, which will bring about the completion of the body of Christ. Soon after that event, a series of Old and New Testament prophecies will quickly fulfill, including those relating to the tribulation, the glorious appearing, which is the second coming of Christ, the judgment of God, the millennial kingdom, and the eternal life, or the eternal state. God designed, before I go on, we're here on Blog Talk Radio, The Way, The Truth, and The Life, your host. I'm Pastor Carlos A. Ramos. You could call us at 516-418-5944. If you have any comment, questions, or testimonies, press number 1 to be connected to the studio. We would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to Blog Talk Radio on your computer or laptop. Glory be to the Lord. And you could dial 516-418-5944, or you could call us via your telephone, your cell phone, or your regular phone at that number, 516-418-5944. And join us for the new study called What's Next. And we're doing an introduction today, going over certain stuff. And then we're going to get into some specifics next week on. Hallelujah. God designed these future events to fulfill both his promises and his warnings to the various groups with whom he has been working since the creation of the world, including mankind, Israel, and the church. Some events are predicted to occur in a specific sequence. For example, the seal judgments, trumpet judgments, bowl judgments, and second coming of Christ. And others are to occur generally at the end of the age and lead into the conclusion of God's program for this earth. The following, and we're going to just go over certain of them, and we're going to complete our list. The following chronologically represent what the Bible tells us about things to come. What's next? Things to come. We could change the titles of things to come, but the Lord gave me what's next. Number 1 is the rapture of the church. Number 2, the judgment seat of Christ. Number 3, the appearance of the Antichrist and the false prophet. Number 4, organization of the harlot church. Number 5, the revival of the Roman Empire. Number 6, Antichrist 7-year peace treaty with Israel. Number 7, ministry of the 144,000 witnesses, Jewish witnesses. Number 8, rebuilding the Jewish temple. Number 9, ministry of the two witnesses. Glory be to the Lord. Number 10, seven seal judgment. Number 11, Gog and Magog invasion into Israel. Number 12, martyrdom of the two witnesses. Number 13, casting of Satan out of heaven. Number 14, he's in the second heaven, not the third heaven. Number 14, abomination of desolation in the temple. Number 15, full manifestation of the Antichrist. Number 16, worldwide persecution of Israel. Number 17, destruction of the religious Babylon. Number 18, seven trumpet judgments. Number 19, seven bowl judgments. Number 20, destruction of economic and political Babylon. Number 21, battle of Armageddon. Number 22, second coming of Christ. Number 23, regathering and judgment of Israel. Number 24, judgment of the nations. Number 25, Judgment of Angels. Number 26, Resurrection of the Old Testament and Tribulational Saints. Number 27, Casting of Satan into the Abyss. Number 28, Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Number 29, Millennial Reign of Christ. Number 30, Satan's Final Revolt. Number 31, Great White Throne Judgment. Number 32, Destruction of this present earth and heaven. Number 33, Creation of a new earth, a new heaven, and new Jerusalem. Number 34, Millennial Reign. And number 35, Eternity Life with God. So those are the subtopics that we're going to be looking over as we study what's next. And I'm going to give you some scriptures to look into. Glory be to the Lord. And you're going to study them, and you're going to ask God for revelation. Remember one thing, when you read the Bible, you are reading the Logos word, and you want to pray for the Rhema word, which is the revelatory word of the Holy Spirit. He gives you revelations of it. What does it mean? How does it apply to you? And, you know, what you need to be obedient to so you don't fall into sin. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me give you some scriptures that you could look over regarding our first subject, which will be the rapture of the church next week, next Thursday at 6 p.m. And that's going to be, you look at the Gospel of John, chapter 14, 1 to 3. You're going to look at 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, 7 to 8. Chapter 4, verse 5. Chapter 15, verse 23. And verse 51 through 53. You're going to look at Philippians, chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. You're going to look at Colossians, chapter 3, verse 4. You're going to look at 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 19. Chapter 3, verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. Chapter 5, verse 9, and verse 23. 2 Timothy 4 and 8. Titus 2, 12 to 13. Hebrews 9, 28. Also 10, 25 and 37. James 5 and 8, 1 John 2, 28 and 3, 2, Revelations 2, 25, 3, 20, correction, 3, 10 to 11 and 4, chapter 1. Those are the verses, chapters that you should be reading for the first subtopic of the rapture of the church. There's a lot of verses there that you want to look over, and we're going to see how the Lord God Almighty has given us an understanding so we could study the scriptures. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. At this time, we're going to consider the mics to be open. You can call a 516-418-5944, press number 1. To be connected to the studio. You could call about anything that we talked about regarding what's next and regarding the events to come. Hallelujah. And we're going to see how God deals with us. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There is something that you have to understand, my brothers and sisters. There's an opportunity right now for you to cry unto God and ask God to cleanse you from all the unrighteousness that you may be found worthy to escape the wrath to come. Jesus Christ, God himself, left his throne in heaven. If you read Philippians, you're going to see that Jesus Christ left his home in heaven, took on a human body like a servant, and came to this earth by means of a virgin birth, like the prophet said in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. He came as a servant. He grew up obedient to his family. In the proper time, the Lord brought forth his baptism. He brought forth his testing. And he brought forth his miracles and signs that he did. There also came a time where they arrested Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. They took him from among the living. They stripped him and they whipped him with 39 stripes. With the whip from the Romans, and it tore his body to shreds. The word of God tells us in Isaiah 52, at the ending, it says, we could not even tell it was a human being. His vista was so marred, we couldn't even tell that it was a human being. It was punched. His beard was pulled. He was spat upon. He was humiliated. He was brought before the crowd, and the crowd cried out, crucify him, crucify him. But Pontius Pilate could not find a sin worthy of death. And Pontius Pilate could have let him go. But because he wanted to please the crowd, he took Jesus Christ to be crucified. And Jesus carried the beam on his shoulders, like Isaac carried the wood to be sacrificed. And he carried that beam and he fell three times. Because you must think about the whipping, the embarrassment, the pain that he was going through, the loss of blood as a human being that he had. And they had to call Simeon the Cyrenaean to help him carry the cross up the hill, up to Golgotha. And Jesus Christ laid on that cross and his hands was nailed to the cross. His feet was nailed to the cross. And he was lifted up. Just like he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And he was lifted up. And in it, in itself, it's a sign to the Jewish people. Because when Jesus said it is finished, when he cried out, why, Eli, Eli, why you forsaken me? The veil in the temple was rent in two. There was a great earthquake. It was darkness and raining. And they were witnesses of what was happening. And when they came to make sure that he was dead, they went to the other thieves that were on the cross. They hit their knees area to cause them to strangulate to death. But when they came to Jesus, he was already dead. Because Jesus said, Father, into their hands I commend my spirit. When they looked at him, he was already dead. So the leader of the Roman soldier told the soldier to pierce his side. And he took a sword and pierced his side. And out came out water and blood. And they took him down off the cross. And just like a baby, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and put in a manger. He was wrapped in clothes, the priest clothes, the ornament. They wrapped him about it and Some scholars say that the napkin was put over his face. Some scholars say the napkin was left there, folded. And when the ladies came to anoint his body for the burial, they saw that the stone was rolled away already. So they couldn't anoint his body. But if you remember the encounter when Mary came to Jesus at the dinner table, she was crying and cleansed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. And then she put oil over Jesus. And Judas wanted to sell the product because of the poor. But Jesus said that you poor you would have always. But what she has done, wherever this gospel is preached, let this be also preached. She has done this to prepare my body for burial. So Christ was already anointed, and the ladies coming to the sepulchre didn't need to do that because Mary did that already. And they say that the angel came down. There was a great earthquake. He moved the stone, and he sat upon the stone, and Jesus came out, and the soldiers fell as dead, and he resurrected on the third day, according to scriptures. And the angels were there. Mary was crying. She was looking for Jesus, but they said unto her, why you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. And as she turned and she went out, she saw someone dressed in white garments. She thought it was a gardener. And she asked the gardener where they put the body of Christ, that she would take it and bury him. But Jesus turned and said, Mary. And Mary recognized it was Jesus, but he told her not to touch him until he has been risen to his Father. But he told her to go to his brothers and tell them that he would see them in Galilee. And she went and told Peter and John, and Peter and John ran to the sepulchre, and John outran Peter. But Peter was the first one to enter in, first one to look for Jesus. And they saw the linen cloth and the napkin there, but they didn't see the body of Christ. And on the way back to tell the other disciples, there was a third man walking with them in the road to Emmaus. And this gentleman asked them why they were worried. And they in turn asked him if he was the only one who didn't hear what was going on. When they went into the house, he broke bread with them. Their eyes were open. They were able to see who they were talking to, Jesus Christ. But they didn't recognize him at first. And then he disappeared from before them. And they went back to the disciples. Just as Mary told them that the Messiah has risen, they told the disciples he is risen. They saw him. They talked with him. And he appeared unto them through the door. And he showed them the hands and his feet. And Thomas was not there. And the other disciples told Thomas. And Thomas said, I won't believe unless I put my hands in the side and see the wounds. And the following Sunday, Jesus reappeared. This time, Thomas was there. And he called Thomas. He says, Thomas, look, put your hands in my side. Look at my wounds on my hands. And Thomas kneeled down and he said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, you believe because you've seen me. But blessed are those who believe and have not seen me. That's you and I, my brothers and sisters. We don't know Christ after the flesh. All we know him is after the spirit. When we were born again. Glory be to the Lord. Let me give you a little itinerary from the church, and that is that every Sunday at 6 p.m. we have a Bible mystery class, and we share a mystery, and if you come up with the answer, the church will mail you out a free gift. This Sunday, we're going to be looking at the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. And then Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the morning, we have our intercessory prayer from 3 to 4. And then on Thursday at 6 p.m., like tonight, we have our Bible study. And we began our new study called What's Next? We have a little introduction. We share some scriptures of what some words. And the first subtopic that we're going to be looking at is the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church, we believe that this is the event that's going to occur next, and it could occur at any time. We have an imminent expectation of the coming of Christ in the air, of the rapture of the church. So we're not going to get ready for the rapture. We're not going to get ready for Christ. We are ready. You must be ready now. You cannot get ready. It'll be too late to get ready now. So we're going to be covering the rapture of the church next Thursday, and we're going to talk about it, and you have an opportunity also to talk about it. If you have any questions, we'll talk about it. And this is things that you could write down and take it back to your pastor and ask for his opinion, his revelation. And what we're going to pray for is we ask God for that he will bless us and keep us until the next time that we meet together. Glory be to God. We're going to meet. Don't forget this Sunday at 6 p.m., same time, same location, same telephone number, 516-418-5944. We encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. This is the Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, and we're studying What's Next. Glory be to God. On Sunday, we're going to be looking at the parable of the sower. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen.